Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Bob Thune and Dusty White, pastors at Coram Deo Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we have a special guest, Neil Kwiatkowski.
Hello.
What up, Neil?
How you doing?
Hello. Yo.
Thanks for having me.
Notice that Mike did not say that we have a topic today. He said we have a guest today. And the reason is because we're going to spend the next couple podcasts just getting to know some folks on the Coram Deo team. I really like our team, guys. We got the Lord's given us a fun bunch of people to sort of throw in together in this mission. And Neil is one of the newer guys to the Coram Deo team, been around since February of this year.
Probably the funnest member.
Also the funnest member.
Yeah. Yes.
I agree. Also the most distracting member.
Yes, that too.
that's mostly true.
We needed that. We need a little distraction around here.
I could tell.
Neil, you preached recently, and so everybody kind of got to hear you preach for the first time. But there's a lot of folks who, you know, because you haven't sort of told your story, there's a lot of folks that just don't know sort of your life story and how the Lord's worked in your life to bring you to this place. And so we want to take this podcast just to sort of do that. And it's primarily for two reasons. One, I hope that the listeners within our church, it will help them get to know you a little bit. I think for listeners beyond our church who aren't going to, you know, be in community with Neil and whatnot, there's still a beauty in hearing the story of someone's life. And just there's something about story. There's something about narrative. There's something about how God works in people's souls that's encouraging and helpful and visionary, even if you don't know that well the person who's talking. So I think even for folks beyond Coram Deo, Neil, I hope that it's a blessing to them to just sort of hear the story of your existence. So, Neil, here's what I know about you. I know that you became a Christian your senior year in college.
Yes, sir.
You told that story in your sermon. And you also said in your sermon you got arrested three times right before that.
Yeah,
three times. Something like that. So, man, I'd love to hear, like, just tell us about some of the shaping events and relationships and experiences of your early life. So if you think back to before you were a Christian, before you met Christ, who were you and how did you become the person that you were?
Sure. So my family stopped going to church when I was like 9 years old. My dad was altar boy in his church growing up. I don't really know how his church upbringing affected him, but it affected my family because we stopped going to church. And I think there were some things that were a little over my head when I was young. I didn't know anything about Jesus growing up. I didn't really know anything about the gospel, the Bible. It's kind of a young, insecure kid, played a lot of sports growing up. I've kind of always been the jack of all trades with sports, but the master of none of them. So I feel like I was good enough to be on teams and good enough to participate, but I always felt not quite in like the elite, cool, super good athlete crowd. My parents, they weren't super engaging. It's funny. My mom, 2 years ago, I was riding in the car with her, and she apparently had talked to my sister, and I just have one sister. We were close growing up, and I told my sister knew that high school was just kind of a rough 4 years for me. So I always would say that was the worst 4 years of my life. Just insecure, picked on a lot, didn't like it and wouldn't do it over. And my mom, we're driving in the car, and she goes, your sister told me that you had a rough experience in high school. How come you didn't tell me about that? And I said, well, mom, I'm 14. It's called parenting. So
she didn't like that.
She didn't really like that. No, but I'm like, I'm 14. Like, what 14-year-old shares emotions, how they're doing, what they're experiencing with their parents? And then she responded, well, you were just in your room a lot. And so from a young age, my family stopped going to church. We stopped eating dinner together at the dinner table. It was easy for me to kind of be just all by myself in my room.
Yeah.
Went off to college.
Where is this, by the way? Where'd you go?
Oh, yeah. UW-Stevens Point. It's in the center of Wisconsin.
Thank you. UW. Oh, Wisconsin.
University of Wisconsin.
University of Wisconsin.
Stevens Point. So I remember the first couple weeks feeling really insecure. Whenever Friday came up, I didn't want to go party. That was a really intimidating scene for me. But everybody just kind of seemed crazy in my dorm room. So I went home like for the first 5 weeks. It was an hour away. I would drive home just because home was safe, secure, even if I was just able to be by myself. So after like 5 weeks, my parents didn't let me stay home anymore. made me go back to school. I remember I spent a lot of my time going to the weight room just to fill time in between classes. So one day I was walking in the weight room, and a buddy of mine that I played baseball with, Little League all growing up, who's one of my best friends when I was young, tournament teams with, he was walking back from the gym when I was walking to the gym. And I mean, that's the guy who I met a lot of my friends, got connected with, kind of the party scene. I remember going to his dorm room that night, slamming shots of vodka, chasing it with Kool-Aid, going to my first house party, really uncomfortable for like a month, started to make friends, and I kind of got engulfed in that scene, made a lot of friends through my buddy Taylor. So first 2 years of school felt like a blur of just kind of the party scene. Made a fake ID, drank a lot, even though I wasn't 21 yet. And so first 2 years felt like meeting a lot of people, making a lot of friends, partying a lot, having a lot of fun, being the butt of a lot of jokes from doing stupid things. Because I've always been a really extroverted person, so getting drunk always amplified that. I didn't calm down. I got crazier.
I have not seen you drunk. And but I have seen and you I do sober. Not plan on you. I don't plan on seeing you drunk.
Good. Okay.
But I can imagine what that might look like. So then third year of college, did you like settle down or start applying yourself or what happened? Because you didn't become a Christian yet.
No. Third year of college, met a girl that I liked for a year, started dating her, had not a great relationship with her off and on, broke up. Went back out, broke up. I think that happened like 5 times. Still drinking a lot. I'm starting to experience kind of the emptiness of drinking and partying, though. I look back to when I beat my dad at arm wrestling when I was like 14, and it was this power shift. I remember holding his hand, putting his hand down, and asking him, "Are you even trying?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm trying." Slammed his hand to the ground, and I remember this like switch in my mind that was like, I'm stronger than you. I'm tougher than you. I don't have to listen to you anymore. And so just this cycle of getting picked on, feeling weak, feeling insecure. Now I'm in college. I'm like 6'4", 200 pounds, I'm getting bigger and stronger. Now I'm drinking a lot. Now my insecurities are starting to come out like in anger when I'm at the bars. I got my first bar fight my junior year. I don't even remember why. Just men being prideful and stupid. Senior year, wasn't a good guy, wasn't a good boyfriend. Started to feel really convicted of just who I was and wasn't okay with it. I remember moments looking back to who I was as a freshman and feeling like I'm completely different now, my senior year of college, but not knowing how to get out of this cycle. Started to be on depression medication, which didn't really help, just kind of felt worse, and then still continued to drink on the weekends.
So how did God get a hold of you? What happened to sort of connect you to the realities of who Jesus was?
Yeah. So got arrested 2 more times in consecutive months for getting into bar fights. One was a resisting arrest, got slammed on the ground by the cops, spent 3 hours in a jail cell. That wasn't fun. And then I got in a bar fight the week later and was like trying to clean out my life, didn't know how, feeling like garbage, wanted to get away from my life at school and my girlfriend and just my reputation at school. Wanted to be a good guy. Started to have thoughts of like, man, I want to be a good guy. I want to get married. I want to be a respectable guy and be a good father, and just didn't feel like that. Went and lived with my sister in Alaska. Her husband was in the Air Force. She got married. He got stationed in Elmendorf Base in Alaska. So I lived with her after my freshman year and just kind of partied and hung out with them and had a great time. And so it was kind of a safe refuge for me that summer. So I went there again. And this time her Bible's sitting out. She's reading it almost every day. Her and her husband going to church on Sunday. She's talking to me about it. I don't remember anything she said that whole summer, to be honest. I worked with her. She had 3 friends that she told me that were Christians. And there was just something different about these people. They were super nice. And it wasn't disingenuous, just really nice people. Really made me curious, even though I was still a little cautious. The thing that I remember from that summer is I watched The Passion of the Christ with my sister. She's like on the left couch, cries through a quarter of the movie. I'm largely unaffected by it. I go to bed that night and it's just kind of wrecking me. I'm like, well, why is this so impactful for my sister and doesn't mean squat to me? So the next day my sister is kind of being weird about a church service they have in the middle of the week. She's like, hey, we have church on Wednesday this week as well. It's kind of a different service. Don't feel like you have to come. She was being really weird about it when I had already come to church with her the entire summer. And so I was like, it's fine, weirdo. I'll come to church with you. So I go to church with her, and it's like an hour-long confession, prayer, communion service. And so I remember the pastor saying, hey, I just want to give you like 15 minutes to put your head down and pray. And
that's like a long time.
It was super long. I remember starting to sweat and feeling really uncomfortable. But in the midst of that, God kind of swept over me, and I felt a different type of conviction. It wasn't, I just feel like a terrible person and a really bad guy. It was like, man, I've messed up and I want to start over. And if you really died, Jesus, on the cross for my sins, and God, if you're really real, then man, I want you to come into my life because I'm a wreck and I want you to change my life and I'll follow you. I remember saying things like that and having no real grid for what the gospel was. So went home, like everything was fine that night, started reading my sister's Bible, picked it up the next day, read through Genesis in like 2 weeks, loved it, was asking a ton of questions, calling my girlfriend back home, telling her, like being a new believer geek, just super excited and zealous and telling her all the things I'm reading. Have you read your Bible? You need to start reading your Bible. I remember telling her that, weirding her out. My attitude towards the guys at church changed. I thought Christians were big, giant dorks. I mean, I still think some of the guys at church were pretty dorky, but my attitude was different. It was softer towards these guys. I wanted to get to know them. I had this newfound inward zeal for Jesus that was just not there before. And I didn't totally know what was going on. So I got back to school a month later. My sister's calling me every day. She's worried I'm going to go back. I'm still living with five guys who are partying every weekend, who I partied with for years. She's worried I'm going to go back to my old ways. She's calling me like every week. And I quit going to the bars like cold turkey. There's only one person that I knew that was a Christian. She was this girl named Becca Rickert. She was, at this time, a first-year intern with a college ministry. But I met her my freshman year. She was friends with my buddy Taylor. And we tried to like get her to party with us throughout her freshman and sophomore year. And it was around like sophomore year, she stopped hanging out with us. And so looking back on it, it was like she was trying to care for us, love for us, reach out to us. Maybe she didn't know how. But then it was like she was getting sucked into our lifestyle more than she was lifting us out of that and into her lifestyle. And so I wrote her an email telling her what was going on in my life. She tells me later, she's reading this, and she looks at her husband and goes, I think Neil Kukowski became a Christian. And so she set up a lunch date for me with him. So I sit down. He goes through the whole gospel with me, talks about how God created me to know him, enjoy him. My sin has broken me from knowing him. Jesus came to die. Receiving that, repenting of sin and trusting in Christ, it comes into your life, and we get to the end of the gospel, and I'm like, wow, that's what's happened to my life. That's why when I say the F-bomb right now, I feel convicted when I could have said it on my grandma like 2 months ago, or I was still doing a lot of stupid things, and I just felt like there was these alarms going off within my soul and my mind, like all the time. And I'm like, that's what's going on. And I remember him putting his two fists together and saying, well, yeah, God is holy, Neil. And so when he came into your life and saved you, you're not so holy. He's trying to clean you from the inside out. And that's why you're experiencing all this conviction, like inwardly, that you didn't before. And it was just kind of wrecking me. I was like, wow, this is crazy that this is real. And this is why things have been so, so different in the last month and a half. And why I've had all these different like desires. And
so you're like a few months from graduation at this point, right?
Yeah, I was like 4 to 5 months from graduating.
So and as I understand it, when you graduated, you sort of went on staff of the campus ministry, like, which was real. I mean, so you're a brand new Christian and you jump into a vocation that's like, I'm going to teach other people how to walk with God. Tell me how that all happened in your last year of college. Like, how did your whole sort of trajectory shift?
Yeah, it took like 5 months to be a professional Christian where I could lead others. So I was a really zealous guy right away. I started following, Becca's husband's name was Luke. I started following him around, hearing this word discipleship. I'm like, that's like the weirdest word I've ever heard. What the heck are you talking about? I see you meeting with people. So he started meeting with me pretty regularly because I was like a barnacle on his leg, just trying to anything.
And they're also like, this guy became a Christian. This is amazing. They're like intrigued probably.
Yeah. He was a cool guy. Like, I had a lot of respect for him and just wanted to be his friend. So I just kind of followed him around, and and wanted to learn and grow. I started going to his college dorm Bible study and was like the zealous new believer. So he kind of met with me for 5 months. He told me, he's like, I don't know what to do with this 23-year-old kid. I'm going to give him 5 months, and whatever God wants to do with that, that's great. So he kind of walked me through 5 months, a lot of basics of Christianity. Let's get this kid grounded. I became like a self-feeder pretty early on. Like, let's read, let's grow, let's learn, let's ask questions, let's figure this out. Like, this has changed my life. I remember getting baptized. My mom came to my baptism, shared the gospel with my mom, which was basically just what Luke had been going over with me. My mom came to Christ like 2 months later. So there was a lot going on. I knew that I didn't understand the gospel at all before that summer at my sister's house. And almost all my friends in college, everybody at the bar scene in my classes, they were living exactly like I was. And my major was health promotion and wellness. So it was just like, okay.
You weren't promoting a lot of health.
I was not. So I felt like, man, somebody needs to tell these people. So I started telling my friends. I started telling my parents. Wrote my parents like a 2.5-page, like, tearful letter that I read to them over Christmas. And I just felt like this is what I want to do and want to be a part of. And somebody needs to bring the gospel to these college students because they don't, like, understand this at all. And so we had the staff team with the college ministry. There was, like, 6 older stud guys who could work with me. So the process was kind of intense. Like, what do we do with this kid who's been a Christian for 6 months and wants to do ministry? And there was Luke was on the team, and he vouched for me a lot. And I met some of the other guys, and I just think they felt like, I think we can take this kid on and take a risk for this kid. I remember after my second year of interning with Crew, and it just grown a lot in those 2 years. And I remember my director at the time, Ryan, I was like, so how do you feel like taking a chance on a kid in my last 2 years as an internship? How do you feel like that turned out? He's like, man, I don't feel like it could have turned out any better. I was like, oh, that's pretty fun. So I just feel like I got swept up in what God wanted to do with my life at that time and was riding it. And I felt like I had not been fist pounding on the table, excited about anything in my life before. And when God saved me, I was like, this is what I was made to be a part of and to do.
So Neil, now that's, you've been, I mean, that summer in Alaska changes your life. You come back, you get discipled, you go right directly into ministry, and you've been doing discipleship and evangelism ever since.
Yep, 10 years.
So 10 years. So even as you reflect back on those last 10 years, let's say, what are some of the things that you're just like blown away with that you now catch yourself doing as a Christian that you actually think, man, I would have never in a million years thought I would be whatever. Speaking in front of people, preaching, loving people. What is it for you that you're just like, from the Spirit, you just feel prompted, like, man, this is amazingly worshipful?
Yeah, I feel like over the last 10, 11 years, there's been different stages of that. I remember being a Christian within the first year, listening to worship music in my car when I used to be listening to Tupac and having moments of like, man, what the heck has happened to me? I remember my second year of ministry being on the beach in Panama City Beach, sharing the gospel with kids on the beach, walking to like the next guy we were going to approach thinking, dude, there is no way that you're not real because there's no way I'd be doing this. Like, I was on this beach 4 years ago. There's just no way I'd be here. So I've had moments like that to, yeah, giving my first talk in front of college students to discipling students and feeling like God was gifting me to do that and be like, man, this is just crazy. I would never have thought this, to like getting married 7 years ago and having friends from college be there and them telling me like, we had stories to share, but we didn't feel like we could share any of them because we didn't think any of them were appropriate at your wedding. It's like, well, thanks for doing that. Like moments like that of like, yeah my life is way different. But honestly, I have little moments like that, but I just kind of got swept up in it where there really hasn't been a lot of like turning back. Like every stage of the process that I've taken new steps of faith that God has brought me to has just felt like good, great, can't go back now because I know how great this is, and life would be horrible to not be walking with the Lord in faith and enjoying Him. So I've had different stages of that.
Talk a little bit, Neil, about your theological formation, sort of how you've been shaped theologically, and then what did God do to make the move from sort of campus ministry to church-based ministry?
Theologically, I mean, with the college ministry I was working with, they had a pretty in-depth, like, reading plan and schedule for your first 2 years to train you up from an intern to a senior staff guy. And so read a lot of books, articles. Again, I was a pretty good self-feeder, so I listened to a ton of podcasts my first couple of years. Just wanted to learn by people that I was hearing older Christians talk about. I listened to a lot of John Piper growing up. I remember a lot of Francis Chan my first 5 years of being a Christian. But around like year five of being a Christian, I still was struggling pretty deeply with like doubts of God's love for me on a consistent basis that wasn't based on me making him proud of me and working to experience that and feel that. I remember 6 years ago listening to a sermon by Tim Keller. It was called Does God Control Everything? I listened to it six times and I feel like I experienced grace in a whole different way. In the way that he was laying out kind of the doctrines of grace and can't lose your salvation. And this is what God has done and nothing can separate me and has nothing to do with what I've done. I can't even separate myself. And that was the beginning of me even. I feel like I read a lot and loved theology and wanted to learn, but this was a whole different space because I felt like Reformed theology was something that was like nerds talk about and have a conversation about. But now I was kind of swept up in how it was changing my life. Yeah, that was, I think, springboarded a lot of theological pursuit for me in that realm and trying to understand scripture. And even with some of that stuff, it just opened up scripture in a different way to me. I mean, reading the New Testament letters and just seeing it in kind of a different light. But feeling with some of the ways that I was gifted around year six of doing campus ministry, I feel like the higher up in the ministry I got, the more that I was doing a ton of things that I wasn't necessarily great at, administrative things, planning things. I loved leading a team. I loved discipling guys. I loved teaching. I felt like that's what God had gifted me to do. But the higher up in the ministry I got, I felt like I was able to do less and less of that. And so I would say about 4 years ago, I felt like God was leading me into pastoral ministry, but I had no idea what that looked like, how to get my foot in the door, how to pursue that. It seemed like a pipe dream a little bit to me, but that's kind of when it started.
How did you get your foot in the door? What brings you to this podcast table here today?
Yeah, so the college ministry that I worked with, they have a Christmas conference every year. And so 2 years ago, Bob spoke at our Christmas conference. And 4 years ago...
Was it good?
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Okay. I mean, I'm just asking.
It was great.
You can be honest. You can be honest here.
It was great. 4 years ago, when I was on staff with college ministry, they asked me to lead a summer mission trip to Australia. And the person that I was leading with, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do to disciple 30 students through the whole summer. And she mentioned a book, a study called The Gospel-Centered Life. And I was like, wow, it's got gospel-centered in the title. Let's do it. I don't have a better option.
Can't go wrong.
So we did it. And I remember going through it, feeling like, dude, this is so good. And it was probably the richest gospel-centered theology that I had been entrenched in up to that point. Our students were loving it. I felt like I was loving it as I was going through it. So I got back to campus. I was really zealous about it to my staff team, taught it to our staff team. We went through it. We started using it on all of our campuses. Felt like the buzz of gospel-centeredness was going around even in our church, but I didn't really feel like anybody understood it to the depth of what I was learning in this study. So I brought it for my pastor. He asked me to teach it for our adult Sunday school. So then when Bob was asked to speak at our Christmas conference, I knew that he used to be on staff with Crew. And for me, Bob was like celebrity pastor of a study that I had done. So I wasn't trying to talk to him to get hired at his church. I just wanted to pick his brain and asked Bob how he transitioned off of Crew staff into pastoral ministry. How did he feel like God was leading him to do that? It was like a minute and a half conversation. So Bob sent me a message like 9 months later asking me where I was in the process of pursuing pastoral ministry and transitioning into that. And the internship with my church had just fallen through. So I was like, wow, I'm really nowhere now. And this is what just happened. So next message was, would you ever consider moving to Omaha? So I remember heart started to race.
You were like, is that in California?
My wife was in the kitchen. So I said, hey, Bree, guess what? She's like, what? She was probably sounded nicer than that.
I don't think
she's
ever said like that, probably.
Bob Thune just asked if we would consider moving to Omaha. Silence. Walks into the living room. Nah. I swear, read it. She comes over and reads it. What do I say? And that's when we kind of started that processing through that before I responded to Bob with a, yeah, I think it's a possibility. So then they had us come out for a weekend, check out the church, meet some of the staff.
Seen how many push-ups you could do, stuff like that.
Yeah. Be introduced to the city a little bit. I think before that, Bob and I, what did we Skype?
This is like introduced me to your bobblehead collection on Skype.
Yeah.
You do have a lot of bobbleheads. That's probably something people should know.
I sold like 150 of them too.
To like move here for gas?
For gas.
Have you bought any bobbleheads
recently? I literally started selling them to fund our adoption.
Yeah.
To help fund our adoption. And we're about to buy a house if we're moving here. So I was like, well, geez, home inspection's like $500. That's about six of my bobbleheads. Let's do it. So that was a little bit of that. Came and checked it out. Loved the church. Loved the young leaders that I saw in the church. Loved the direction they were headed. Even as I was a part of the gospel community training that was going on, there was just a clarity to that that I hadn't experienced in a church before. I've always wanted to be a part of equipping the local church for mission, for evangelism, for discipleship. And so when I came here, I was really excited to be a part of that. So it was kind of a no-brainer when I was offered a job to come that I felt like I was really going to flourish and do well here. So it's been great to be here. It's been great to learn alongside you guys and be a part of the team. We've loved it.
It's been a lot of fun to have you on the team. You've added a whole new level of sort of playfulness, extroversion, joy, encouragement. It's been a great thing for us.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, Neil, last question. If you're talking, let's say you're talking to a guy, because I have these conversations all the time. I mean, you and I had it, right? Talking to a guy who's 25, 26, 27, you know, interested in ministry, maybe younger than that. Maybe we're talking to a college student interested in ministry and just wondering, man, how do I move toward that in a meaningful way? What advice would you give to the 23 or 24-year-old version of yourself about just how to be faithful in pursuing an aspiration toward Christian ministry?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. For me, I didn't see an end goal of like, this is where I want to be in 4 years. But here's what I did. We moved to Milwaukee. I knew I didn't know anybody there. Let's get plugged into a church. And I pursued the pastor right away. Looked like a young guy. Hey, let's get coffee. I don't know anybody in this city. I'm a young leader. I'd love to meet with you once in a while. We became like really good friends within the first year. And from that, just creating friendships and looking to continue to grow. We had a lot of conversations about our church, about what was going on. I got involved like teaching some men's ministry things. Got to preach there a couple times. Just befriended him and wanted to continue to grow. I didn't have in 4 years, I want to be this. I wanted to walk with Jesus. I wanted him to lead and guide me. And I knew I needed other like good guys around me. And I think from that, the Lord kind of led me to what he wanted me to do.
I really like that answer because it puts a focus on community. It puts a focus on being in relationship and cultivating connections and friendships with people that can, rather than on, here's my trajectory, here's where I want to get, here's where I'd like to be. And I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah, totally. And the what's interesting about that is what I hear you saying in that answer is I wanted to grow. I pursued being discipled. I wanted to learn. There was active learning going on. And then even with your conversion story of like being this boisterous, you know, alcoholic drunk college guy.
Thank
that's
you.
Like completely different, you know, from like, oh, I think I want to go learn now and submit myself and be a disciple, you know. So like that's God's grace all over your life. And then the other thing that's fascinating about that answer is just humility. Yeah, I just want to learn instead of I'm going to arrive, I'm going to do this, I'm going to pound the table until I lead this thing, whatever that thing is. There's lots of humility that God has given you.
Well, I think when you're in your 20s, too, I was just trying to try out as much ministry as I could. And so being on staff with the college ministry, I didn't have any clue what I was good at. I think when I was around 30, I started to get an inkling of what I'm specifically good at and what I wanted to kind of pursue. But in your 20s, it's like get involved, try a lot of different things, be faithful, and see kind of what you're good at. But in my 20s, I had no clue really what I was gifted at. And I'm still figuring that out a little bit, too. I mean, ever since I've been here, too, it's like I've seen even the contrast between, like, my personality, I don't think, lends well to being a preacher every single Sunday. And so a couple of years ago, I'm thinking, well, could I be a church planner? I think I'd be a terrible church planner because I don't think I can preach every week because I just don't think my personality lends well to sitting down in a coffee shop, spending a lot of think time by myself. I go to Panera, and I'm going insane after 5 hours and incredibly tired.
It's because you went to Panera.
And because you were there for 5 hours.
Yeah. So, I mean, even in my mid-30s, I'm still figuring out different things about myself. So I would try a lot of things and see what you're good at and see where the Lord has gifted you, what you want to hone and pursue.
Man, Neil, thanks for coming on the podcast just to share with us about your story. It's encouraging to hear how God's worked in your life, and I'm glad to have you on the team.
Thanks, man. Love you guys. Fun to be here.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. We invite you to join us next Wednesday for another Wednesday Conversation.